The Death of Cleopatra, 1876. Edmonia Lewis, Carved Marble. Ah, so you finally met Cleopatra. She is magnificent, isn't she? Not everyone thought so when she was first presented at the 1876 Centennial Exhibition in Philadelphia. Whereas most sculptors working in the popular neoclassical style of the time chose to depict Cleopatra's contemplation of suicide, Lewis's sculpture departs from that habit by depicting the moment of her death. For anyone unfamiliar, the legend goes that she killed herself by allowing a poisonous snake to bite her. In Lewis's sculpture, the great Egyptian queen, bedecked in regal attire, sits slumped back upon her throne as the serpent's poison slithers through her veins, choosing death rather than accept the loss of her kingdom to Roman rule. Seen in this light, it is easy to imagine Cleopatra's final thoughts as the poison claimed her, that her enemies could take her throne over her literal dead body. Though many of you are no doubt left scandalized by the honest representation of a mighty ruler's death, it was indisputably regarded as one of the most impressive sculptures on display at the exhibition, which makes it all the more surprising that the Death of Cleopatra, a 2-ton solid marble masterpiece, was lost for over a century. Annabel Godfrey spent much of her life searching for this sculpture, having been entranced by stories of it since she was a girl. But alas, every lead, every whisper of its whereabouts that Annabel unearthed during her lifetime resulted in shattered hopes and starting over from scratch. Not even her considerable resources could find it. It was only after Annabel's passing that the statue was found by the Godfrey estate, which had continued the search per Annabel's last will and testament. And what a journey old Cleo has had! She first surfaced, having disappeared not long after the conclusion of the exhibition in, of all places, a Chicago saloon. She was then traced to a racetrack just outside of Chicago, where she was used as a headstone at the grave of the track owner's favorite horse. Can you guess what the horse's name was? Cleopatra, of course. And there she remained for many, many years, even as the racetrack became a golf course, which then became a munitions factory. Eventually, she was moved to a junkyard, where she was discovered several years later and was presented to a local Boy Scout troop to restore her. You can imagine how well that went. It was at this point in the Death of Cleopatra's long journey that the Godfrey estate finally found the statue and was fortunately able to salvage it from the effects of time, the elements, and the well-intentioned restoration efforts of a mob of young children. And the properly restored work is the beautiful sculpture before you, finally come to rest in peace. GPS recalculating. GPS recalculating. GPS recalculating. Please hold. Your audio guide's GPS tracker is having difficulties triangulating your position. Our deepest apologies for the inconvenience. This does happen occasionally and should resolve itself momentarily. GPS recalculating. GPS recalculating. GPS recalculating. It appears that we are still unable to pinpoint your location. Switching to the Visual Identification Backup Protocol. Please hold your audio device in front of the nearest collection item. The internal camera will scan and identify it so that you may continue your tour. Why is there water lapping around your ankles? Where are you? It is the Godfrey Estate's firm recommendation that you retrace your steps and exit whatever part of the galleries you have stumbled across. Just turn around and go right back the way you came. Please keep your audio device's camera facing forward so that I may help guide you back to... Was the hallway this flooded and this dark when you first walked down it? It is perhaps a little late for this reminder, but guests should never step into the shadows. Wait, stop spinning. Please stop spinning and try to remain calm. I cannot assist you if you descend into a panicked frenzy. Thank you. Kindly pick a direction and continue calmly down the hall. With any luck, it will deposit you back in the Godfrey gift shop on the ground floor, where you can purchase our extra-thick Godfrey Estate and Museum beach towels to dry off your soaking feet. And the whole lower half of your body. When did the water get this deep? Please keep the camera facing forward. Ah, it seems to be continuing to rise. Fascinating. I do hope you know how to swim. Wait, hold the audio device higher. Higher. Do you see that light as well? Those lights? How marvelous. Have no fear, intrepid patron. This may simply be a new addition to the museum that has not yet been cataloged. Such things do happen. You should consider yourself very lucky. Guests hardly ever get to witness the introduction of a brand new Godfrey Estate original installation. I must document this for posterity. Please keep the audio device above the rising water level. It is not meant to be submerged. For the Godfrey Archives, this new installation features glowing spheres of light, which float upon the surface of the newly formed body of water located somewhere within the museum. Please reference this device's last known GPS position for an estimation of its whereabouts. The sphere sizes vary, and the materials of their construction are unknown. A warm, golden light radiates from them, providing enough illumination to see that the hallway walls have vanished, leaving a distant horizon instead. The spheres of light are visible in every direction, stretching as far as the eye, or at least this camera, can see. The water level appears to have finalized for the moment, hitting the current patron in possession of this audio guide at roughly chest height. Please consult the checkout records of this device to inquire about the patron's exact dimensions. Wait. Something is coming. Something is emerging from the darkness between the spheres. It is a boat, wooden, rudderless, mastless, and steered by a hooded figure, propelled by a long staff gripped tight in its hands. Behind the figure, within the boat, are more of the glowing spheres. It is coming this way. Wait, intrepid patron, stop hiding! This note-taking is for posterity! Posterity! Move out from behind the sphere so that the audio device may capture... It seems these spheres are burning hot, given how the patron recoiled after placing a hand on one while hiding from the figure in the boat. The boat is approaching faster, no doubt drawn by the patron's cry of pain. The figure in the boat holds up one of the spheres in its hand as if using its light to search for something. It does not seem to mind the searing heat that the sphere radiates. The figure and the boat are here. The figure is looking down at the patron, or at least its focus is on the patron, as no eyes are currently visible beneath its shadowed hood. It is offering a hand to the patron. The patron is hesitating. The patron has taken it, and is now sitting in the boat, dripping wet at the hooded figure's feet, opposite from the pile of glowing spheres, whose light pulses softly against the darkness. The figure has resumed its position, steering this small wooden vessel deeper and deeper into the unknown. Please stand by.
Thank you for listening to the Godfrey Audio Guide. This episode was written, produced, and performed by Nicole Knutson, with sound design and editing by James Ferrero. Enjoying your trip to the estate? To keep up with the Godfrey, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Godfrey Guide. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your podcasting app of choice. If you're interested in becoming a sustaining member of the show, make sure to visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/thegodfreyaudioguide. In addition to our various membership tiers, you'll also find full episode transcripts for any who wish to read them. Until next time, friends, see you back at the museum.